Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue dealing with the subject of contentment, how Christians are to cultivate the rare jewel of contentment, to learn how to be content, like the Apostle Paul, who learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. He even elaborated in that section, it's in Philippians chapter 4, about there were times when he was in need, in poverty, and other times when he was in wealth. He abounded at times, and he lacked at times, but he said it made no difference. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I can be as content in poverty as in wealth. That's what Paul said. Can you? That's the question. That's what Paul is dealing with here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And he's demonstrating that contentment is not so easy to achieve because there are so many Adamic frailties that war against it. We have the problem of covetousness. We have the problem of envy. We have the problem of pride. We have the problem of self-acceptance, and on and on and on it goes. We just really have trouble accepting the circumstances of our life that we wish were different. And particularly when we look over the fence and see somebody else. We have a phrase for that, don't we? We call it keeping up with the Joneses. We all know what that means. Some people drive themselves into poverty, and even worse, drive themselves into a bad mental state because they can't be content with what they have. And what their circumstances are, they keep looking around and seeing what somebody else has. And so the automobile that they drive, they would be content with if they didn't see that new expensive one in their neighbor's driveway, and suddenly theirs is no longer satisfactory. It was yesterday. It provided the need for transportation. It got you where you wanted to go, where you needed to go. It did so with reasonable dependability, and it didn't seem to be a problem until you saw that somebody else had one that was bigger and better, and suddenly you're discontent with your car, or your house, or your clothes, or your jewelry. You were content with your wedding ring, weren't you, until you saw some other lady who had this big, expensive one, and then suddenly you are not content with yours anymore. And on and on and on it goes. That's the problem. And Paul says, we've got to learn, by the help and grace of God, we've got to learn how to cultivate Christian contentment. And so to that end, we continue our study of this section of 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 rather through 24. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, October 14. And many thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to air the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, the general principle is accept the circumstances that God has given to you as appointments from God and look to Him. Don't look over your shoulder. Don't look around. Don't look at others. Don't envy what others have. Don't busy yourself with with what God is doing in the lives of other people. That's not your business. What God does in your neighbor's life is between God and your neighbor. What God does in your life is between God and you, and you need to accept your appointments as from God. And that's the general principle stated in verses 17 and 20 and 24. But we started looking at the first of two illustrations about this in verses 18 and 19, the illustration of circumcision. And then when we get to it, we'll look at the second illustration, verses 21 through 23. But back to circumcision. Verse 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now, under the old covenant, circumcision was, we could almost say, circumcision was everything. Without it, you were excluded from the covenant, from the promises, from salvation, from the blessings of God upon the covenant people of God. Under the old covenant, circumcision was everything, but that's changed with the coming in of the new covenant, and now people aren't joined to the covenant of salvation, the new covenant, by circumcision. It's by faith in Christ. And that doesn't depend upon circumcision. It isn't related to circumcision in any way. The circumcised Jew who believes in Christ is saved as a member of the new covenant community. The uncircumcised Gentile who believes in Christ is saved as a member of the new covenant community. Both equally share in the same salvation. One has no advantage over the other one. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. So, if you are called while circumcised, verse 18, what was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Don't be discontent with your background, with your circumcision. I'm unhappy with my Jewishness. Now that I realize that my Jewishness doesn't amount to a hill of beans, I've learned to renounce all that for salvation in Christ. Paul had to come to that place where all of the things that were Jewish in his life that made him proud, made him satisfied, made him confident that he was a recipient of God's blessings. All of those things, he came to the place where he realized, I have to renounce all of that. I can't depend upon any of that. I can't take pride in any of that. It's a big bunch of nothing. It's nothing. It used to be the most important things in my life. Now it's absolutely nothing. The only thing that's important in my life is my faith in Christ. So, But if you were saved, if you were called to Christ out of Jewishness, don't be discontent with your Jewishness. I don't like being a Jew. There are people who look down their noses at Jews. There are people who call Jews bad names. And on and on and on it goes. It happened in Paul's day. It happens in our day. So, what do you do about that? Well, you try real hard to look Gentile. Your circumcision is pretty well hidden. You're not going around parading that. So you can dress like a Gentile. You can eat like a Gentile. You can adopt the customs of Gentiles. You can blend in with the Gentile community, and maybe nobody will know that you are a Jew. Oh, stop it, said Paul. You're just demonstrating your lack of contentment with God's appointments in your life. If God birthed you into a Jewish family, if God ordained that you would be circumcised in your childhood, infancy, if God brought you up in a Jewish home and from those circumstances called you to salvation in Christ, then don't resent those circumstances. they, on the one hand, are no longer any reason for your Jewish pride, which you probably had before you were saved, but neither are they reasons for your present discontent and resentment. You don't need to be accepted by Gentiles. That's not what's important. What's important is your relationship with Christ, and likewise with the uncircumcised. Some of the people called to Christ as uncircumcised Gentiles were being pressured by the folks we call Judaizers, that you have to be circumcised, you have to eat the kosher diet. You find references to that in the book of Galatians. You find references to that in the book of Acts, how that happened, how that these people went around pressuring. And there was even had a council in Jerusalem about this. There were those going around saying, except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you can in no wise be saved. And so they were making Gentile believers in Christ discontent with their circumstances. Why didn't God appoint that I'd be born into a Jewish family? Why didn't God appoint that I should be circumcised? Why didn't God deal with me that way? Cut it out. Cut it out. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Got it? And uncircumcision is nothing. Got it? You got it? Please understand. Circumcision or uncircumcision, whichever it may be, are of no consequence in pleasing God. What matters is, interestingly, keeping the commandments of God. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Well, isn't circumcision a commandment? No, not since Christ came and ushered in the new covenant. Study your Bible. Understand. Don't be misled by the misuse of Scripture. Well, what commandments are we talking about here? New covenant commandments. People in old covenant days were bound by old covenant commandments, but Christ has ushered in the new covenant. You've been saved and called to Christ in the new covenant. And there are new covenant commandments. Those of you who somehow have been misled to think that under the new covenant there aren't any commandments, well, evidently Paul didn't get that message. Circumcision is nothing, because that's old covenant, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. New covenant commandments. The ones that are given to believers in Jesus Christ. The new covenant has commandments as surely as the old covenant had commandments. And keeping Christ's commandments is what pleases God. It has nothing to do with circumcision or uncircumcision, but it has to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. It has to do with not envying and not arguing and so many commandments about how we are to live. It has to do with no adultery and other forms of immorality, no anger and backbiting, living at peace with one another. These are the new covenant commandments that please God. That's what matters. Understand that as you cultivate this Christian contentment. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.